Shalom to all. Today we're learning Masachas Gittin Parakei Mishnah Mishnah Vav. And today's Mishnah we learn B'schos Esther Bas Rachel Shishi B'sachar Defined Receiving Hagun B'Karav Mamish. And we think we talk about things that are Mipnei Tikkun Olam. We're gonna have four things from Rabbi Yochanan Magud Gadah. Only two of them are Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So the Mishnah tells us, Hey Rabbi Yochanan Magud Gadah. Rabbi Yochanan Magud Gadah gave edus about the following. Number one, Alechei Reshes Sheisiyo Via She Yotze Beget. Regarding a Chei Reshes, a deaf mute woman, if her father married her off when she's divorced, she gets divorced with a get. What's the chiddush over here? So we know that a Chei Reshes is not a bar das. And if she's a gedola, she's above bas mitzvah, she's not able to get married midai raisa. Now over here, we're talking about a chereshes who's a ketana, she was under bas mitzvah, her father accepted kiddushin for her. That's a marriage midai raisa. And the Mishnah is telling us that even if she's getting divorced after she's bas mitzvah, she can get divorced with a regular get. That's because she doesn't need das to accept a get. Number two, val ketana bas yisrael shenises l'kayin shaychalas betruma ve'imesa bala yarsha. Regarding ketana bas yisrael, she's less than 12 years old and she's just the daughter of a yisrael. She gets married to a kayin. She's allowed to eat truma. Her marriage is midrabanon, and she's allowed to eat truma midrabanon, and we're not afraid she's going to end up being truma d'oraisa. And also, if she dies, her husband inherits her. Number three, and here's where we come onto the takana. V'halmarish hagazel shebenoi bebira sheitol as damav mibnei takanas hashavim. Because of takanas hashavim, it was established that if somebody stole a beam and built it into his house, the one whom it was stolen from just gets paid for it, and he doesn't get his beam back. Me'ikar hadin, according to the strict halacha, if a person steals a beam and builds it into their house and didn't change it at all, didn't cut it up into pieces or do anything like that, so the beam is exactly as it was when it was stolen, it's just now built into a house, he should technically dismantle his entire house and return the beam. However, because of Takanas HaShavim, we want to help people do tshuva, and if they know they would have to take apart their whole house, they're not going to do tshuva, we say it's okay, he just has to pay the value of the beam and not give the beam itself back. And number four, V'alchatus HaGzula, Shaloi Noidel Rabim, Shimi Chaperes, V'mini Tekan HaMazbeach. Because of Tekan HaMazbeach, if a person brought a carbon chatas and that animal was stolen, and just that nobody knows about it, that's what Shaloi Noidel Rabim means, that the carbon chatas brings a kapara for the person. What's a tekken mizbeach? So technically, according to strict halacha, if a person brings a carbon that they stole, it doesn't bring a kapara for them. It's actually not considered a carbon at all, and it's called chulin ba'azara. It's just a regular animal that was shechted in the azara, and that's a particular issue with a chatas, because some of the meat is eaten by kaihanim in the azara, and that's a big problem if they ate chulin ba'azara. And if they find out that the carbon was not valid and that they ate chulin ba'azara, they're just not going to want to bring carbonus anymore because they're going to be afraid of this happening again. Therefore, in order to prevent this from happening to the mizbeach, that's what tekken mizbeach means. We say that as long as nobody knows that this animal was stolen, it brings about a kapara for the person. And moving on to Mishnah Vav, before we start, let's get a din clear. There's something called sikrikon. These were non-Jewish thugs and murderers who often would be given property in exchange for life. This guy would go up to a yid and harass him, maybe even threaten to kill him, and in order to save himself, the yid, whom we're calling Reuven, would just say, okay, you know what, just take a property of mine, you could have that. Now, since the victim didn't really intend to give it with all of his heart, he was just trying to save his life, that means that it's still considered his halachically, and if the sikrikon sold it to somebody else, to Shimon, the real owner Reuven is allowed to bring Shimon to Bezin and get his property back. So now the Mishnah tells us, Lo haya sikrikon b'Yehuda b'harugei al-Milchama. In this stage called Harugei Milchama, there's no din sikrikon in Yehuda. Harugei al-Milchama is referring to when Titus HaRasha was waging war against the Yidden. This war eventually led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so there was no din of sikrikon. Because anyways, the Jews were destined to die. The gzeira was that if you see a Yid, you should kill him, or you definitely could kill him if you wanted to, and there wouldn't be any problems. So when a Yid was able to save his life at this point in time in history, by giving a property to the sikrikon, he was machinate 100% to him, and therefore, even if the sikrikon sells it to a different person, the original owner can't take it away from his new guy who bought it. However, from Harugei Milchama and on, meaning after the war was over, and there's no gzeira that if you see a yid, you should kill him, yeshba sikrikon, there is din of sikrikon. So we continue talking about this. Ketzad, how does this halacha play out? So lakach mi sikrikon, v'chaz lakach mi ba'al bayis. Let's say Shimon bought the property from sikrikon, and then he's a really good guy. He went to Reuven and bought it from him, meaning he made a kinyan from Reuven, the original owner. Still, mekach batal. It's not a valid mekach. It's not a valid sale. Because we say that the only reason why Reuven agreed that Shimon could buy the property is because he had already bought it from the sikrikon. And Reuven's afraid that if the sikrikon finds out that he didn't agree to the sale to Shimon, then he's just going to come back and kill him. So therefore, we say the whole thing's not valid, even though Reuven agreed, yeah, Shimon, you could buy it. However, if it was the other way around, mibal bayis v'chazur lakach misikrikon, mekach kayom. If first Shimon went to Reuven and he bought the property from him and he said, look, I want to buy it from the sikrikon, is that okay? And Reuven gave it his thumbs up, and then Shimon went to the sikrikon and bought it from him, that is a valid sale. Something similar, nothing to do with sikrikon, but the same concept. We know that a property the husband owns is meshubit to his wife's ksuba. It's meant to be used for the wife's ksuba, and technically he shouldn't be able to sell it. Now let's say lakach mino ish v'chazur lakach mino isha. A man first brought this property from the husband, and then he went to the wife and bought it from her, got her permission to have it sold. Mechay batal, it's an invalid sale. That's because we say that the only reason why the wife agreed to this is because she sees that her husband even sold it already and he wanted to sell and she doesn't want to get into a fight with him, cause Sean bias issues, and therefore she says, yeah, it's okay, you could buy it. But she's not really serious. So the whole sale is batal. However, if he first went to the wife, bought it from her, got her permission, and then went to the husband, so it's a valid sale. And the Mishnah tells us, Zu Mishnah Rishayna. This was the original limud, the original halacha. However, Bezin Shalachreim Amru, later on, a Bezin sat down and said, Halakech Masakrikun, Nesan Lebalim Revia. If you bought a property from Masakrikun, all you have to do is give a quarter of that property to the original owner, and he's not allowed to take the whole thing away from you. And this is B'nai Tikkun Olam, because if every time somebody buys a property from Masakrikun, it could just be taken away from him by the original owner, no one's going to want to redeem land from these Masakrikun people, and that's not a good thing. We don't want Yiddish land to be in the hand of these thugs, and therefore he could keep the whole property. Now, the reason why he has to give a quarter of it to the original owner is because the assumption is that the Masakrikun charged a quarter less than the going rate, because he got it for free anyway, and therefore a quarter of the property has to be given back. Now, for the clarification of this, Amasai, when is it, says the Mishnah, Bezman She'ein B'yadon Likach. That's only if the original owner, Reuven, doesn't have the ability to buy it from Masakrikun himself. Avayesh B'yadon Likach, but if he is able to buy it from Masakrikun, Hein Kadmul Chaladam, the original owner comes before everyone. Now, Rebbe Hashav Bezin, Rebbe established the Bezin, they sat and discussed this halacha, Benimnu, and they voted, they came out with the following, She'im Shasa B'fnei Masakrikun Shnemasar Chaydesh, that if the Masakrikun had this property for 12 months and the original owner didn't get it back from him within that time, Kol Kadmul Likach Zaycha, anyone who gets there first and he manages to buy from Masakrikun, he's Zaycha, Aval Nais Alvalim Revia, he just has to give the owner a quarter of the property. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Zayin and Ches. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.